We're talking now about something not quite as wonderful, an order by U.S. President Donald Trump, who kept his word to implement a controversial ban on Muslim immigration from countries with a history of terrorism. Following the executive order, citizens and immigrants from the 7 listed countries have been stopped at airports or removed from their flights. What is being called the Muslim ban has resulted in international condemnation and has seen large protests at airports all across the United States. Dougal Robinson, research fellow at the United States Study Center at the University of Sydney, joins me to discuss the ban. Thank you for joining me, Dougal.
Not at all.
And with this executive action that's curbing immigration from 7 predominantly Muslim countries, can you explain a little bit more about the order itself?
Well, the order has really two parts. The first is a 90-day ban on entry into the United States for people from 7 countries. So they are Iran, Iraq, Libya, Sudan, Yemen, Syria, and Somalia. People from those countries are not able to enter the United States for the next 90 days. It's unclear what will happen after that. The second part of the order relates to refugees, and it's a 120-day across-the-board halt on refugee admittance into the US, and an indefinite pause on refugees from Syria. There are some exceptions, such as for Christians coming from Muslim countries, but for the most part, the United States won't accept any refugees for the next 120 days under the terms of the executive order signed by President Trump.
So far, we've seen also reports of passengers being detained in the U.S. by officials. How long might these passengers be held for?
It's unclear how long they will be held for. There are very different, a range of different circumstances here. This relates mostly to the 7 countries we've listed. Some of those people are visiting for holidays or vacations or business from those countries. Other people from those countries are actually permanent residents of the United States holding green cards who have lived in the United States for years. And the detention of those people has caused the most uproar because the United States is their home. The administration has sent mixed messages about this. Some early when they announced it, they said they just wouldn't be let in. So somebody who'd been home to, say, Iran to visit family and was coming back to the United States at this time has been detained. But apparently now green card holders will be allowed back into the United States. So people living in the United States who come from these 7 countries.
And our own government, our Minister Julie Bishop, said that she's confident the Australian government and the U.S. government would continue to support each other in implementing strong immigration and border protection policies. What is this? I mean, Australia's own refugee and intake and admittance policies are somewhat controversial as well. How does our government's attitudes fit in with Donald Trump's attitudes? How does it work together? So how does it reflect on our own?
Well, I guess governments of both political persuasions in Australia, both Labor and Liberal governments, have had a strict approach to border protection for over a decade now. That's been more or less a bipartisan position in Australia. However, Australia has had a reasonably high legal humanitarian refugee intake. The United States has, under the Obama administration, it took about 110,000 refugees per year. The Trump administration is going to cut that to about 50,000. So still a significant number, but relative to a country as large as the United States, it's not a particularly big refugee intake. I guess the main area of commonality is that governments in Australia and the Trump administration have stressed the need to know and to vet who is coming into the country. Both governments have really tried to prevent terrorist attacks, for example, from occurring.
And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking to Dougal Robinson from the United States Study Center. And Dougal, another thing we've seen is a large number of protests held at airports, citizens coming together to try and, you know, allow people in who are being stopped by this order. What effect might these protests have on people at the airport, but also on, you know, public opinion towards this movement?
Well, I think that the protesters are clearly trying to send the message that this is unfair, it's
out of line with United States values. The protesters have by and large emphasized the fact that the United States has in history been seen as sort of a city on a hill or a magnet to which many of the world's people have wanted to immigrate. And it's certainly changing that perception of the United States. What the protesters are hoping to achieve is they're hoping to drum up so much domestic opposition within the United States to Trump's executive order that he will either cancel the executive order or he will modify it in part. They've already had some success by this turnaround on green card holders. So as I explained previously, whereas somebody from one of the seven Muslim countries coming back to the United States who had, say, been visiting home or who'd been on a vacation was not allowed back in, now the Trump administration is signaling that they will be allowed back in if they are a legal permanent resident of the United States. So the protests, you could argue, have had some support already, and it's worth noting that there is very strong criticism across the board. There are Nobel Prize winners who've written a letter. There are people who are going to airports not to fly but to protest, as you've said. The technology industry, major companies like Apple, have lobbied against the ban. So the Trump administration, in issuing this executive order, has attracted significant public opposition within the United States and in many parts of the world.
And I suppose one other thing would be with this order, it's not just so much the order itself, but what it might mean moving forward. Do you think that this order is in the long term going to be upheld or lead to even stricter measures in the future?
I think that the Trump administration will have a stricter approach to immigration and refugee admissions from Muslim majority countries than the Obama administration did. However, I do not think that the ban, that the executive order as it is currently issued, will stay in place indefinitely. As I said at the start of the interview, the admissions from these seven Muslim countries is a 90-day ban, and the refugee halt is a 120-day ban. So it's unclear what happens after those 90-day and 120-day time frames expire.